Turning to God's word, last Lord's Day, he gave some consideration to the subject, the duty of a Christian wife. The duty of a Christian wife. This is the theme of the truth that Peter brings before God's people in the opening six verses in 1 Peter 3. He deals with the vitally important role of a wife and teaches women how they can honour God and live for his glory as they fulfil this role. The role of a woman, or the role of women in this wicked and corrupt society in which we live, has been greatly undermined and it's been greatly devalued. And very often, those people who are at the forefront and demanding rights for women are the very same people who attack true biblical femininity. They cast aside that which God says in his word and they think they know better. And yet, as God's people, we need to remember, it was God who created the first wife. It was God who brought this most high and honourable role of a wife into existence as he made from Adam's rib, Eve. Therefore, because God created woman, because he established this role, the role of a wife, it is only God that can rightly declare what function the role of a wife is, what the role of a wife involves. The great cry that we so often hear is equality. And we hear it said so often, we stand for equality. We stand for equal rights for men and women. And you know, this sounds so good. It sounds so fair. We stand for equal rights for men and women. It's all about equality. And this is continually what we hear in the media. All about equality. But for the Christian, for God's child, equality ought not to be our goal or focus. Rather, it ought to be conformity. Conformity. Conformity to God's word and to his role and purpose for our lives. This is what every Christian, man or woman, husband or wife, should be concerned about most of all. Am I living a life that brings glory to God? Am I fulfilling that role that he has made for me and placed me in life? It's not equality that ought to be our concern. It's conformity. To conformity to God's word and how he would have me to live in that role that he's placed me in life. And so Peter, in the first six verses of 1 Peter 3, deals with the role of a Christian wife. This is what he focuses in upon. However, after Peter speaks of the duty of a Christian wife, he goes on to address the duty of a Christian husband. And this is brought before us in the words of verse 7. See again what it says in verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so here in these words, the role of a husband is brought into focus. This then is what I want us to consider today. The responsibilities, the duties that belong to a man as he is found in the possession of a husband. This is now what Peter speaks to God's people about. What he instructs the church about. And this is what we need to understand. What are the duties and responsibilities that belong to a man as he holds the office and the possession of a husband? We should know from the very outset that the role of being a husband is a very significant and weighty one. It is a very, very weighty role. Comes with the greatest of responsibilities and duties. The Apostle Paul draws this to our attention in Ephesians 5, that passage we read earlier. And this is what he says in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice here, it is Christ himself who is the standard of what a good husband is. Christ is the standard. A Christian husband is to behave towards his wife even as Christ has behaved and continues to behave towards his bride, the church. This is how we are to behave as husbands. As Christ behaved. Think of how Christ has behaved towards his church. He sacrificed himself for his church. He sympathizes, he is sympathetic towards his church. He sustains his church. He strengthens his church. He supplicates for his church. He satisfies his church. And he sanctifies his church. This is how Christ loves the church. This is how the Lord Jesus acts as the great heavenly bridegroom towards his bride. He meets her need in full. He is the one that bestows upon her every blessing. All the blessings that she has comes through him. He is her great provider, her great protector. He is her all in all. This is how Christ treats the church. And yet, this is how the Christian husband is to treat his wife. And so this is the lofty and high example that every husband is commanded to follow. As husbands, we are to behave towards the wife that God has given to us after the manner the Lord Jesus has behaved as the great Savior of his people. We are to sacrifice for our wives. We are to sympathize with them. We are to sustain them. We are to strengthen them. We are to pray for them, to supplicate for them. We are to be those who are a sanctifying influence in their lives. This is the responsibility, the weighty responsibility and duty that rests upon the shoulders of husbands. Very difficult, almost an impossible task. It is therefore absolutely essential that husbands not only consider what God says in his word very carefully, but also that they earnestly seek God to give them grace and enablement, the enablement of the Spirit, to fulfill the role of being a husband to the glory of God. This is the greatest task you have, men. If you're married today, the greatest role that God has bestowed upon you is to be a husband. To be a husband, the head of your home. This is a most significant role. And if we properly understood this, if we grasped the biblical significance of this, then we would lay hold upon God for help. Because we would say we are not sufficient for these things. And thinking then of the duty of a Christian husband, as Peter brings it before us in these words, there are two main points I want us to consider today. Just two main points. In the first place, notice here, husbands are to show leadership. Husbands are to show leadership. The first part of verse 7 very much brings this into focus. See what it says again in verse 7, the first words. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Notice this first begins with the word likewise. The word likewise. Now this word likewise directs our attention back to what has been previously said. In verse 6, we read of a married couple. Read about a wife and a husband. This is the godly couple of Sarah and Abraham. Peter draws attention to Sarah as a good example of what a godly wife is. He speaks of how she obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Sarah willingly and graciously submitted to her husband. This is what she did as Abraham's wife. Therefore, she is set forth as one that every Christian wife should seek to follow. She's the good example. She reverenced Abraham. She submitted to him. She respected him as her husband. But then, as we come to verse 7, it begins with the words, likewise, which means in a similar manner, likewise or in a similar manner, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That is, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Now what is this similar manner husbands are to follow? What is the similar manner which the word likewise here speaks of? Well, the thought here is, just as Christian wives should follow Sarah's godly example of a wife, so Christian husbands should follow Abraham's godly example of a husband. We are to consider Abraham and behave as he behaved as a husband towards Sarah. And this is the thought behind the word likewise here in verse 7. It's directing our attention back to the previous verse. And just as wives are to behave like Sarah, so in a similar manner, husbands are now to behave like godly Abraham. Of course, that brings us to the question, how did godly Abraham behave as a husband? What was the manner by which he lived as a man in his own home? But note again those words in verse 6. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now the term Lord here literally means one who has authority or in control. One who has authority or who has control. This then is the way Abraham behaved as a husband. This was the way he conducted himself within his own home. He was the one in authority. He was the head and the leader of his family. And this was how Abraham behaved as a husband. As the head of his home. He was the one who had authority. He was the one who was in control. In other words, he was the leader of his home. He held leadership there. In Genesis 18 and 19, God actually speaks of it, the leadership that Abraham showed in his own home. This is what it says in Genesis 18 and 19. God speaks of Abraham and he says this, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." And this is what God says of Abraham. I know him. He's going to command them. He's going to command his children. He's going to command his household, his family, and he's going to command them in the way of the Lord. Here is leadership, you see. A man ruling and has authority in his own home, directing them in the way of the Lord. This then was the way that Abraham lived as a husband. He gave leadership to his wife, and he gave leadership to his family. He was the head of his home, the one in authority. As Christian husbands, we are then to follow Abraham's example. We are to do likewise. That's the point that Peter's making here. We are to do likewise. We are to be the leadership in our own homes. And there are many, many other portions of God's word that bring this truth before us. In fact, it's brought before us time and time again. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 tells us, "The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." Speaking about leadership there. The head of the woman is the man. And again in Ephesians 5:23 it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And again there's a thought there of leadership. In 1 Timothy 3 and 5, Paul says of the role of an elder, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And so here again he's speaking about leadership. And he's speaking about proper leadership. And he's saying, listen, the elder must rule his own house first and foremost before he takes up position in God's house. This is the godly thing to do. This is what a man ought to do. Be a leader in his own home. And so the scriptures very clearly teach us that the role of a husband involves leadership. Leadership. A husband is to be the head of the home and the one that rules his own house. Again, we have to say, this is another biblical truth that very much goes against popular opinion in our wicked world. This is very much against what is promoted today in our society. Such things are talked about as being oppressive. And it's, they use language like male privilege. Oh, this is male privilege. This is oppressive. We will not stand for this. And this is the reaction of a wicked and sinful world to the word of God. But again, let us be mindful. These are not the things that men have claimed for themselves. Men have not claimed the leadership of their homes for themselves. These are the roles God has given to them. Why, if men claimed this for themselves, it would be kind of easy. Because we could just set it aside and let someone else take charge. And that would be that. But no, God has placed men in this position. And therefore, men, you'll give an account for this. You will be judged for your leadership in your own home. That's the point. That's the solemn point. As believers, we must not take our lead from that which is acceptable or in vogue in our society. But our convictions and conduct must be grounded upon the Word of God. And this includes how we behave as men and how we behave as husbands. Now, as Peter speaks of the leadership role which a husband is to show in his own home, he draws our attention to two things here. In the first place, he speaks of how this leadership is to be supportive leadership. It is to be supportive leadership. See again what he says in the first part of verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. As it speaks here of husbands dwelling with their wives, it does not just mean that they are to live together in the same house. Obviously, it does include that. It includes all the different relationships that are involved in a proper function in marriage. And that's what Peter is saying here. But it means more than that. It means more than merely living together. Behind this word dwell, there is the idea of support and provision. In other words, it is the role of a husband to provide for his wife and family so they can dwell together. And dwell together in happiness and holiness. This is what it means here when it speaks about dwelling together. It's the role of a husband to provide so that he and his wife and his family can dwell together. 1 Timothy 5:8 puts it this way. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. This is the supportive role, or the supportive leadership, that a man as the head of his home is to show. He is to provide for his own. Provide for them. It is a man's responsibility to provide for the practical needs of his wife and family. We need to note that. It's a man's responsibility to provide for the practical needs. That includes financial support. It also includes friendship. Husband should be in the home. He should have a good relationship with his wife and his children. Not ignoring them. Not going off and doing something else. These practical matters. Husband is to ensure these things are in place. But we should also be aware that it is a man's responsibility not only to provide for the practical needs of his wife and family, but also to provide for the spiritual needs of his wife and family. To provide for their spiritual needs. Now, this is the big mistake that many so often make. Indeed, this is the big mistake that men often make. They think that when they've done their work and they've earned their money and they've provided for their family, well, they've done their job. And they've done their bit. And they've provided food, good food, a good home, good education, good clothes, and all the comforts of life. And I've done my duty because I've done all this. That's so often the opinion that is adopted by men. But your work hasn't finished when you've provided practically. In many ways, it's only begun. You've only laid the foundation for your great task of providing spiritually for your family. The big mistake that the very first husband made was this mistake. This was the big mistake that Adam made in the Garden of Eden. He didn't protect his wife from the attack of the serpent, from the attack of the devil. He didn't protect her. We might say, well, oh, Eve, so foolish she was. And it was all her fault. And it was her that ate the forbidden fruit. And it was her that led the man into the sin. But where was Adam? Where was he? You see, this is the mistake he made. He was the leadership in the home. He was the head of the home. And he wasn't protecting Eve. You know, that has happened time and time again and continues to happen. It is the man's responsibility to show leadership. And this leadership should be supportive, not only practically, but also spiritually. Remember who a great example is. We must come back to this again. Who is a great example in regard to husbands? It's Christ himself. It is the Lord Jesus. But think of how he supports his bride. Think of how Christ supports the church. He supports it practically. He gives us our daily bread, all that we need. His hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness unto us. But imagine if Christ had just stopped there. Imagine he had just ended there. You've got all the things that you have in life, the practical things. Imagine our beloved, our spiritual husband had stopped there. We would be in hell. We would be lost for all eternity. Praise God, he hasn't stopped with our practical needs. He has provided spiritually for us. And how did he do it? He gave himself for us. He went to the tree, took our sin upon himself, and suffered our hell. Why? Because he was the one who was responsible as the head of the church to provide for the spiritual needs of his bride. He's the one we have to follow then. Do you see this, husbands? Do you see this, men? This is your role. A role of leadership, supportive leadership. Providing not only practically for your family and for your wife, but also spiritually. And so we have here supportive leadership as we think about the leadership of a husband. But notice also here, this is scriptural leadership. Again, this is brought out in the opening words of our text. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. See here how husbands are instructed to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. That is, a man is to fulfill his role as a husband and head in his home according to the knowledge of God's word. That's the thought here. Scriptural leadership is the leadership that the Christian husband is to practice in his own home. And really, this is the only leadership. Leadership that is not scriptural is not leadership at all. You're not just the head of your home because you think you are. Because you think you're, you know, the man. No. Leadership involves following scripture. This is real scriptural leadership. Think of the words in Ephesians 6 verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, this is the thought of leadership. You've got these children. God has blessed you with these children. What are you to do? You are to bring them up, raise them up, nurture them. And this is the role of men. Men. Husbands. Your role. The role that you'll give an answer for. Bringing your children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Now, this scriptural leadership that men are to exercise involves a number of things. We can say it involves a familiarity with the scriptures. It involves a familiarity with the scriptures. You cannot show scriptural leadership if you don't know the scriptures. This is first and foremost. If you're going to be a faithful husband, head of your home, you need to be a man of the book. A man of the scriptures. A man that takes God's word seriously. And approaches it with a heart to learn and to know and to act in accordance to it. Scriptural leadership involves a familiarity with the scriptures. It also involves a following of the scriptures. A following of it. In other words, it involves a godly example. You see, a true leader always leads by example. A true leader always lives by example. And this is so often what we can feel in regard to husbands and fathers. We don't set the example before our wives and our children as we ought. We need to follow the scriptures, walk in the truth. And then the scripture leadership not only involves a familiarity with the scriptures and the following of the scriptures, it involves feeding the scriptures, feeding it, teaching it to those in our household. Teaching it to our children, as I've already pointed out, we are to nurture them, but we are also to teach our wives. Husbands, believing husbands today, this is your duty. You are to teach your wife the things of God. Let me give you a verse of scripture that clearly teaches us this. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Notice what it says here in verses 34 and 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul here is addressing a problem in the church in Corinth. But as he addresses this problem, we see that the function of a husband is to teach his wife the scriptures. Notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now you must understand in relation to these verses, this is said in the context of public worship. And in those days, Worship involved very often what we may term today question and answers. And there was a reaction from the congregation. And there was confusion in the church at Corinth. There was mayhem. There was speaking. There was lots of problems there. But Paul was saying to these believers, the husband is the one who's to speak in the church. Because he's the head of the home. He's the head of the home. It is the husband who's to contribute in public worship. And that's the point he's making here. But leaving that aside, notice here the emphasis upon the husband teaching his wife at home. Verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Let them ask. And so there is to be this relationship of a wife learning from her husband at home. These words clearly teach us this. The husband is to feed. He's to feed his children. He's to feed his wife. This is the scriptural leadership that he is to show. One of nourishing and teaching those in his own family. This then is the leadership that husbands are called to show in their own homes. Supportive leadership, first and foremost. But also scriptural leadership. Teaching and nourishing those under their care. Now, could I just challenge you men today? Is this the leadership that you're showing? Is this the leadership that is active in your home? Is it? Come to God's word, we come to passages of scripture such as this. And these things are really brought into focus and they do sting. They do smart. Indeed, as I study passages of scripture as this, I feel so unfit to preach these words. Because this truth does sting. It shows you what a failure you are. I know, speaking personally, that's what it does for me. But this is what we are to do. And Peter gave us these words under the power of the Spirit of God that we might be changed and conformed to this. Therefore, do not let these words condemn you today. Let them change you. Let them change you to be the man that you need to be. The husband you need to be in your own home. Showing that leadership that God has given to you. And so we have here, husbands are to show leadership. But then in the second place, notice with me here, husbands are to show love. They are to show love. Now, although this is not explicitly stated in our text, it is very much implied. See again what it says in verse 7, in 1 Peter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. As Peter says, husbands are to give honour unto their wives. There's the thought here that a husband is to love his wife. Husbands are to make their wives the special object of their affections. And that's how husbands are to treat their wives. They are to be the special object of their affections. Of course, this is a truth that is stated over and over again in God's word. We have already quoted Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:28 also says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Colossians 3:19 declares, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The word bitter means don't treat them in an unkind and loveless manner. Don't treat them in an unkind and loveless manner. Proverbs 5:18 and 19, we read, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. These words tell us that a wife is to be the special object of her husband's affections. Special object. As well as showing leadership in the home, a husband is also to show love. And as Peter speaks here of how a husband is to treat his wife in this loving manner, he sets forth three things that husbands should be mindful of. Three things that husbands should keep in mind. Three things that every husband should focus on in regard to how he treats his wife in a loving and affectionate manner. Notice here, a husband should be mindful of the preciousness of his wife. The word honor in verse 7 could also be translated precious. Precious. In fact, if you go back to chapter 2 and verse 7 there, We see the same Greek word is translated precious. See what it says in chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious. And this is referring to Christ. How precious is Christ to the Christian? And because Christ is precious to us, so precious, he is our Savior. Because he is so precious to us, we want to honor him. We want to honor him in our lives. Honor him in all that we do. Therefore, as it says in our text today, that husbands are to give honor unto their wives, the thought is, husbands are to honor their wives because they are precious. They're precious. A man as the head of his home is to treat his wife as a very precious thing. This is what Peter's teaching the church. A husband is to treat his wife as a very precious thing. Far more precious than his work or his hobbies or anything else that he might be involved in life. And this is what Peter's really saying. Your work should not come before your wife, nor your hobbies, nor your interests, nor anything else. Because she is the most precious thing in this world that God has given to you. In short, the only thing that should come between a man and his wife is the Lord. That's the only thing that should come between a man and his wife. Christ himself. I wonder, men, is this the case today in your marriage? Is your wife the most precious thing? And does she know it? Does she know it? After God created Eve and brought her to Adam, we're told in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The word cleave here means to cherish by holding fast. To cherish by holding fast. This is the way a Christian husband is to show honor to the wife God has given to him. To cherish her above all else. To cherish her above all other women. To cherish her above all else in this world. All other material things. To cleave unto his wife. And so a husband should be mindful of the preciousness of his wife. We also see here a husband should be mindful of the purpose of his wife. Peter speaks in this verse of how the woman is the weaker vessel. The woman is the weaker vessel. And the point that he's making is men ought to treat their wives with all the more care and love because they are, in regard to physical strength, weaker. Men are to treat their wives with all the more care and love because they are the weaker vessel. You see, as God created men and women, he created them to fulfill a specific purpose, to fulfill a specific role. Speaking very generally, the role of men is to provide and to protect. And that's the role that God has given to men. As I've already pointed out, the husband is in leadership. His role is to provide. His role is to protect. And this is why Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worth an infidel. The man who doesn't provide, the man who claims to be a Christian and doesn't provide for his own home, he is denied the faith. But he's denied God. He's worse than an infidel because he's rejected the role God has given to him, even in his own home. That role of providing and protecting. And so this is, generally speaking, the role of a man, to provide and protect. The role of a woman is then different. It is one of care and of comfort. It's a role that God has given to women. Proverbs 14:1 tells us, every wise woman buildeth her house. And the word buildeth here has the thought of caring for. Caring for, nurturing. She builds her own home. Last week we read those words in Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman. We haven't time to turn them up again. But if we were to again, we would notice that it's all about her care for her home, how she nourishes, how she looks after, the comforts that she bestows and brings to the home. And so these are the roles that God has given to men and women. Men are to provide, they are to protect. Women are to care and to bring comfort. But God has not just given these separate roles to men and women. He hasn't just given these roles to men and women. He has also equipped men and women for these roles. He has made them. God does all things well. He made the man with that capacity to provide and protect. He gave him physical strength to provide, to work, to labor. He's given to a woman a tenderness and a softness that is not found in a man. We even see this in young children. Little boys want to prove how strong they are. They want to prove they're men and they've got muscles. And oh, they love to be big fellas. Masculinity, we call it. And little girls, well, they'll play with dolls. That's femininity. Let me say this. These are things that should be encouraged and even developed. You see, in our society, these things are being attacked. You hear about transgender and all this hellish, satanic stuff. This is attacking God's purpose, the very purpose for which he has created men and women. And in many cases today, boys have been trained to be wee jinnies, pansies. Femininity has been trained into them. This is of the devil. It's satanic. We need to be so careful. It is satanic in its very nature. We should be seeking to develop young boys into being men with masculine traits. That's what we should be seeking to do. That's right and proper. That's biblical. And anything that is against that is simply satanic. It's of the devil. And so God has, in his wisdom and great power, created a world where men and women are different, and he's bestowed upon them different gifts and abilities to fulfill his purpose for them. Therefore, what God is saying here is, as he tells men to be mindful that their wives are the weaker vessel, he's saying to them, don't treat your wife like a man. That's exactly what he's saying. Don't treat your wife like a man. Don't push burdens onto her that she's not meant to bear. Remember, she's the weaker vessel. Remember, she doesn't operate in the same role that you do. Therefore, don't be cruel to her in this way. Don't put burdens upon her that she was never meant to bear. And I never created her for. That's what God is saying here. And you see, this is what we must be mindful of, the purpose of our wives. The purpose that God has created them for. Some time ago, I was speaking to a lady, and she was in the Church of Ireland Church, and she was telling me that she had a position in the Church of Ireland Church, and her position was that when her minister was away, and by the way, her minister was another woman, when her minister was away, it was her role to lead the worship, preach that Sunday, and do all the work of the ministry. And she told me all of this, and she said, listen, well, I know that in the Free Presbyterian Church, you don't really believe this yet. And I said, well, I want to tell you this. As long as we hold to the scriptures and to God's word, we'll never believe it. We'll never believe it. But she began to express how this was such a good thing. Oh, it was such a good thing. And I let her talk for a minute. And then I said, well, do you know what I think? I think this is what the Bible teaches me. That the husband, the wife and the woman is the weaker vessel. And I said, to put loads upon her that God has not created her to bear is the act of great cruelty. It's not even love. It's brutal cruelty. It's unfair. It's unkind. And you tell me this is taking place in the church? That's terrible. This is the way they're treating you. You poor woman. This is awful. It's just pure cruelty. It's unkind and unloving in every shape and form. And men, we need to be mindful of this in regard to our own homes. If you don't show the leadership that you're supposed to show, that's being unkind to your wife. That's cruel. Unloving. And so we see here as husbands, we should be mindful of the preciousness of our wives and of the purpose of our wives. One last thing here, notice with me, as husbands, we should be mindful of the possession of our wives. See how verse 7, the final part of verse 7, how it concludes. It says, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice those words, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Peter is saying here that husbands need to remember that their believing wives are God's children. They belong to Christ. they are heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together. Yes, the husband is the head of the wife. And he's emphasized that this involves responsibilities, great responsibilities. Yet a believing wife belongs to Christ. She belongs to Christ. And so in all of the ways a Christian man treats his believing wife, he needs to remember she is one that is most precious to Christ. Husbands, your wife, your believing wife, Christ has shed blood for her. She belongs to him as well as you. And therefore you must treat her as a child of God. That's how you must treat her. And that's what he's saying here, as he speaks about being joint heirs of life. And so this is the way a husband ought to love his wife. Being mindful of her preciousness, being mindful of her purpose, and also being mindful of her position if she's a Christian. She belongs to Christ. Closing words in verse 7, I believe, are to be applied to both husbands and wives. Not just to husbands, but also to wives. That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. The truth that is really brought out here is, when we honor God in married life, we will enjoy spiritual blessing. This is a promise. Peter spoke about the role of a wife. He's spoken about the role of a husband. And he's saying, if you fulfill these roles, your prayers will be answered. Your prayers will be answered. They'll not be hindered. Maybe your prayers aren't being answered. Maybe your prayers have been hindered. But it's maybe not the Lord that you need to be looking to. It's your marriage. Spiritual blessings flow out of a godly marriage. And that's what Peter says here. May it be the case that as husbands and wives, we will honour God in these different roles in regard to our private duty. And may it be the case that we will know times of spiritual blessing in our lives, in our homes, and even in God's work. I trust God will bless His truth to our hearts today for His own name's sake. Amen.